Ask someone who loves track and field about the notable places in the sport, and the University of Oregon's Hayward Field in Eugene will probably come in high on the list. Hayward has been the site of many a major achievement in track and many major events as well. Not long ago, the old East Grandstand came out, part of a makeover for the stadium. Let's get some perspective on how important Hayward has been and where it is going after its facelift. Tom Heininen is a retired track and cross-country coach at the University of Oregon and our guest by phone from Eugene. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Jeffrey. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us today. You coached both track and cross-country at the U of O, so we have to believe you know Hayward very, very well.
I've been there a long time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Saw it go down on June 22nd. East Grandstand went down in a heap. It took them less than a day to knock the whole thing down because, of course, it was made out of wood back in 1919 or maybe 1925, depending on which version you believe, but it went down in one day.
What was it like for you to stand there and watch that? It sounds like something you couldn't miss.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. I was on a run over to Priest Trail, and when I came back, they were just, they had huge crane things just knocking the roof down, and they went down the one side, knocking the roof down, went back up the other side, knocking the back wall down, and it was wood. It was pretty easy to take down, and they did it in a hurry.
I hesitate to ask, were you standing there with tears in your eyes or your jaw on the ground, or combination?
I wasn't very happy about it, certainly. I mean, I'm one of the people who said, if we had a choice of either have the world championships in 2021 or keep the stadium as it was, or maybe upgrade it but keep the East Grandstand, I would have given up the world championships in order to keep the feeling of history that was there in the East Grandstand. And then there's lots of pros and cons to it, I understand. Everybody has their own personal feeling, and of course it's Eugene, so it was, there was a lot of contention, but not really a much chance for public input. It seemed like sort of a bait-and-switch plan, and a lot of people felt really unhappy about it.
So what was the bait part of that transaction as you see it, Tom?
Well, it seemed like, the original idea was there was going to the Tinker Hatfield architectural plan involved saving the East Grandstand or creating a stand that looked just like it or saving elements of the stand. It was never clear, and no one ever saw what that plan really was, as far as I know. No one in the public did, but that was the plan from the apparent plan from 2015 on, and then suddenly it changed dramatically, and Tinker Hatfield wasn't involved in it anymore, and the powers that be and the money behind it, made it, go a different direction. In order to get the money behind it, it had to go in a different direction, and so we end up with, a stadium. I heard one person say, you're going to have Hayward Stadium, you're not going to have Hayward Field.
It'll be a swankier place potentially, but not have the same feel of the old place.
No one knows really what it's going to feel like. And, there are people that say, hey, it's the people in the stadium that make it, that give it the feel, give it the excitement, give it the understanding of the sport. And that may well be the case. I mean, we may look back and say, hey, Hayward Field was great, but this is spectacular, and this is the 21st century, and this is what the university athletes need, and so on. And it may well be true, but right now, with everything in a pile of rubble over there, it's hard for people to grasp that. I hope Phil Knight is right.
Phil Knight is the money behind this? Is that what you were alluding to a moment ago?
Yes. It's quite clear it's quite clear looking up from the outside in and not knowing anything about what really happened, that the President Schill, when he announced the new stadium, couched it in terms of the grand plan for the ascent of the university up to the highest levels of of American public universities, and that encompasses the, what is it called, the Knight Center for Scientific Impact, Accelerated Scientific Impact. You know, it's $500 million on the, that's going to be spent on a terrific academic building over on Franklin Boulevard, even with a walkway across Franklin. But President Schill, knowing that Phil Knight was the guy who's going to drive the whole science building and everything else because of his money, and when Phil Knight said, "I want to do this with Hayward Field," the president of the university certainly was willing to say yes. I mean, you know, this is an outside view, just sitting, looking, you know, I'm long since retired, and I'm just a member of the community, and that's what I see.
Tom Heinonen is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a longtime women's track and field and cross-country coach at the University of Oregon, so knows Hayward Field very well. We're talking about the fate of Hayward Field at the University of Oregon in Eugene. You can join the conversation on the Exchange. Our phone number is 800-838-3760 with your thoughts about what we're talking about here. You can also send us emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So, Tom, take us back. I mean, when you got there, was it 1975? Did Hayward already have a reputation as something of a track mecca?
Well, certainly. I mean, you know, that was the days when Oregon had a full track schedule. You would see them at home essentially every other week. They had lots of dual meets. The Eugene Register Guard newspaper would put a form chart in the paper on Saturday morning, and people would sit in the stands and keep score of the meet. You know, knowing all the ups and downs as the events progressed, you know, track was a spectator sport. It was a scoring sport with spontaneous victory laps when people felt they did something spectacular, or the crowd just, you know, urged them so much they knew they had to take a victory lap. It was all really spontaneous back in those days, and women got involved in that in the late 1970s, you know, when I was first coaching there, and it was pretty exciting. I mean, dual meets were a pretty interesting kind of track and field at that time, and women added to it in the late 70s when they became co-ed dual meets, to the chagrin of some, to the joy of others, but, you know, we became part of that, and it was, you know, it was a great version of track and field, which has changed dramatically over the years as the sport has changed.
It's more invitationals and fewer dual meets now, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, well, and there's hardly any meets anymore. I mean, you know, you didn't see the team every other weekend, you know, all through the spring. And the sport has changed, but Hayward Field has, has stayed. You know, Marty Licori called it the Carnegie Hall of track and field back in, you know, in the first versions of the Olympic trials in 72, 76, and 80. And then, of course, it came back in when Vin Lenana became the coach and then an associate athletic director with, you know, Olympic trials in 2008, 2012, 2016. So it's been a pretty dramatic place for a long, long time, and it's hard to see it go, but, you know, maybe it'll come back.
Physically, was it ever really imposing?
As good as ever.
Yeah, I wonder, though, I mean, is it one of these places like, I don't know, I've heard people from Boston tell me that Fenway Park, for all of its allure and mystery and history, still smells funny in places and has rodents and stuff like that. I'm not suggesting all those things exist at Hayward Field as well, but I mean, was it a scruffy place physically, but an important place emotionally?
Well, there are people, you know, I'm reading the comments of anonymous, you know, writers on online. There are people look at the East Grandstand, you know, the 99-year-old building and just say, what an awful place, you know, what a crummy place that is. And other people think it's a shrine. Certainly it's, you know, it was built in bits and pieces over the years. The West Grandstand that Hayward, that Bill Bowerman had built, you know, raised the money for and had built, you know, had great views, but it was just a horrible place to sit because there was no knee room. You know, the restrooms are awful. There's no ADA compliance at all in either one of the grandstands when it, coming down right down to it. And so really that, you know, trying to maintain the buildings as they are now, if you try to do anything to, or as they were 2 weeks ago, if you try to do anything to upgrade them, then all of a sudden you have to take care of ADA requirements, and those are just virtually impossible in either one of those buildings. And that's why there was a limit to what they could do to improve them, because trying to meet the governmental requirements would have been virtually impossible.
Let me remind our listeners, we're talking to Tom Heinen, and a retired University of Oregon track and cross-country coach, about the fate of Hayward Field, which the East Grandstand came down a couple of weeks ago, and renovations more ahead in the future. You can join the conversation. Share your thoughts about Hayward Field. Have you been there a lot? Have you wished you'd been there before the East Grandstand came down? Let's get your thoughts by phone at 800-838-3760. The email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So based on what you've seen, Tom, of various drawings and renderings, and there have been a few, I understand. Do you think Hayward Field can be rebuilt in such a way that the history is acknowledged while having things that are needed, like the ADA access you talked about lacking?
Well, certainly they say they're going to acknowledge the history of the building, and it seems like if it's really going to be a $200 million structure, there certainly is going to be, if nothing else, the 1% for art. I think maybe they have to impose, and so there ought to be money to do artistic things, which would be historic things. And they said they are going to save all of the bench seats in the East Grandstand that have the seat numbers, on them. And I know they hauled them all away. They didn't break them up before they knocked the grandstand down. So I would like to think that what they're telling us is what's actually going to happen, and there will be at least some attempts to save some kind of history of the building. But we'll wait and see. We know it's going to be glorious, but there also are concerns about the stadium itself. Seemed that they're going to build, it seems like, 12,900 now down to 12,500 seats, and the latest rendering seems like it's too big for any use except maybe the last 2 days of the NCAA meet and the Olympic trials, if we continue to get them every 4 years. It seems like it's going to be too big, maybe. It seems like the roof, as the building is rendered, seems like it probably doesn't extend as far over the seats as the old wooden stands did. And the wooden stands extended over the seats for obvious reasons. It was a wooden building, and you had to cover it in order to preserve it. It seems like the roof here, it doesn't really cover all the seats. So when it rains, people are going to get wet, which they're not used to at Hayward Field. Also, the great roof, if you look at the renderings, is transparent, which on one hand looks idyllic. On the other hand, since it's going to be a bowl-shaped stadium, seems like it could end up, when the sun is out, it could end up being really hot in there. I got to think they've thought of that, although no one has said anything about it yet. And
all right, so a few
considerations. The third thing about the
go ahead.
The rendering of the new stadium is that there was no view into the stadium as it was first rendered, and in Hayward Field is a place where up on 18th Avenue you can see right into the stadium. From the 15th Avenue you can see into the stadium. From the IM intramural field you can see in, and so you have a feeling for what's in there. Whereas, you know, as originally rendered, it was a 20-foot wall all the way around, all the way around the stadium. And now they've made two changes since the original revealing of it, and that is they've moved the tower and they've lowered the northeast corner down to ground level. So there will be a view into the stadium from the outside. And I got to think that's because they realized that people wanted that. So we'll see.
Let's take a call. We have Don and Eugene on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about Hayward Field with Tom Heinonen.
Well, first of all, thanks, Tom, for an amazing career at Oregon and your keen observations. I want to say two things. In Japan, every generation, a lot of the temples are rebuilt by young people to allow them to possess make the temple their own. And I think that's what's going on. There's going to be a new generation that will, I hope, carry the ball. And the other thing is, on a personal note, remember, Tom, there was an analog clock up on the East Grandstand?
I do.
Yeah, and when I first came here, I had been trying to get on a track team down in Southern California when I was in college, and we had a couple of Olympians who prevented that. I couldn't quite make it, and I came up here and I thought I'd establish my, see if I could run my best time on that track. And the first time I tried, I was just short of it. I looked up at the clock, and it was just over a minute. And every year I kept trying. I went to all comers meets and I tried to keep improving. Instead, that clock was speeding up every year. And as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Duck, tear down that grandstand.
Okay. Thank you, Don. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate the thoughts. So, obviously, mixed feelings in Eugene. A couple seconds before we have to go here, Tom, any final thoughts you want to impart about Hayward Field's future now that you know it's passed so well?
Well, it's going to be a great stadium. Whether it has any feeling like Hayward Field had and developed over a long period of time, it certainly can happen. But it's going to take the people, and hope they come back. There's going to be a 1 year hiatus, and I think it's going to serve the University of Oregon athletes really well, and they are the first clientele for the stadium and the main clientele, and we, the spectators, could create something great there. It's certainly going to be different. I hope Phil Knight's vision is a good one.
All right, a new Hayward Field on the way for sure. We'll see what that turns into over the course of the next year or so. Tom Heinonen is retired now, was the track and cross country coach for women at the University of Oregon for many years, started there in 1975, so many, many days at Hayward Field. Tom Heinonen, thanks so much for joining us to share your memories and your thoughts about the Hayward Field makeover.
Okay.
All right,
thanks,
take care.
Jeff.
Sure.